Let's head to Danny West of hogsports.com. Danny, welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Danny, we back on signing day, in the day after, we talked about Tay Thibodeau from New Iberia, Louisiana, 6'2", 270-pound defensive tackle.
Right.
He signed with Louisville, and he was scheduled to visit Arkansas next weekend. What happened?
Well, I think he probably ran into a situation where, hey, I just want to get this over with. And to be honest with you, I think if he had taken the Arkansas trip first, that probably would result in him signing with Arkansas. He probably just got tired of sitting around waiting and not knowing where he's going to college. And Louisville's, they're a good program. Got a great head coach, as we know, and I'm sure he enjoyed it up there. So he just went ahead and got it over with. That's really all I can say about it. As you know, he does not plan on visiting anywhere else. He has signed his letter of intent, so that one's in the books.
How important is that, Danny? I know we talk about that sometimes, about the atmosphere, about having recruits in on a home basketball game so they can be around that, and then also being able to get these recruits in first, and especially his unique situation, signing day had already happened.
Yeah, most of the time you want that last visit, but when it's after signing day, obviously the kid finds himself in a pretty unique situation, and I'm sure he's got a lot of pressure of people around him, you know, wondering where he's going, and probably just wanted to get it over with. He was a guy that really, really took off very, very late in the game. Right before signing day, I want to say the night before signing day, you see Arkansas offer, Louisville offered, Oregon contacted him. That's obviously a big-time program, so I'm sure his head was spinning pretty bad, and like I said, I feel like he just wanted to get it over with, and because Louisville did get that first visit, I think that's what really benefited them.
Danny, obviously a tough loss by the Arkansas Razorbacks last night on the road at Missouri.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little basketball recruiting, if you will. We know the players that are coming in, but another offer was extended yesterday.
Yeah, interesting offer. Power forward Willie Atwood is out of Connors State Community College in Oklahoma, 6'8", 215, somewhere in that range. He's a JUCO guy, but what's interesting about him is that he's very good friends with Trey Dickerson, who is obviously a big-time point guard target, also in the junior college ranks for Arkansas. They would like to have both of those guys, and those two guys have talked a lot about, you know, maybe coming in at their next stop, going to the same school together and playing together. So Arkansas is trying to throw its hat in the ring for Atwood and hopefully land them both.
What do you think the odds are that Arkansas can land both of them?
I think you got a pretty good shot. Iowa is going to be tough to overcome, I think, because I think they've probably been in the picture a little bit longer, and you know, they're having both of those guys visit. I don't know of any set up visit dates for Arkansas, but I'm sure they, based on what I hear, they probably will visit, and so we'll have to go from there. But there's going to be several schools that, in my opinion, will offer both of them, just trying to get a package deal. Much like Arkansas is trying to do with them.
If you've got a question for Danny West, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. Danny, Chris Hauser leaving the University of Arkansas. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a difficult situation. I hate it for Chris. Very good guy and very good at what he did. You know, I think a lot of people look at that and say, well, he's not a guy that we heard a whole lot about while he was here. So he's probably not that big of a loss. I would disagree. You know, from the outside looking in, I think it's probably easy to say that. You don't see a lot of articles written on Chris Hauser or anyone in that director of on-campus recruiting position. But I promise you, he was a significant piece to that puzzle over there. Recruits and families of recruits just raved about him. Very hard worker. You know, 16, 17-hour days were nothing for him. Very personable, which I think is probably the most important component when you're dealing with recruits and families. So I think it was a bigger loss than most people realize, but I think Brett Bielema will do his best to go out and find a better fit for that position, maybe maybe try to get something a little bit different out of that position. So wish Chris Hauser the best. He's a great guy, and I know he's going to do very well.
And, Danny, with the rule, I guess, that was proposed by the NCAA, what's your take on that? I guess it's called the 10-second rule now, to try to slow down these fast-paced offenses. What have you heard about that? And it seems like some coaches have really been speaking up against this rule about how crazy it is.
Well, I think it comes down to your time of possession type coaches like a Nick Saban, Brett Bielema. It's no coincidence that they've got their hands all up in this pot. So yeah, I think that's ironic, but I'm sure most coaches don't want it. You know, you see college football going to a faster paced game, and teams like Auburn and some of these other schools that want to speed it up, they're not going to like it at all. You know, their offense is based on wearing you out. Conditioning, you know, is a huge part of it. And when you take that away from them, you're basically, for Brett Bielema, it'd be the same as taking away a fullback for him, in my opinion. So we'll see how that works out, but I'm sure a lot of coaches are strongly against that right now.
Danny West of HogSports.com joins us. Danny, one question on our Keithley Service Company live fan feedback. This from Richard in Conway. Wants to know, looking ahead to the 2015 class, who are some of the stars that stand out that Arkansas is getting commitments from?
Getting commitments, that may be a little while off, but some of your top targets, you know, thinking about the next two weekends, February 22nd, and again on March 1st, they're going to have a lot of kids in here, some of their top targets. I think it starts with the in-state kids. Obviously, you've already got Ty Story committed, Colton Jackson, Jamario Bell, some of these guys. But then you look at Will Gregg, KJ Hill. I think they're at the top of your list because you get guys like Will Gregg and KJ to jump on board, and that can really, really pick up your momentum. A lot of recruits kind of gravitate to those two guys, and I think they would be great recruiters for you going forward. So they're going to do their best to get those guys on board. Datrion Dean from Fort Smith Northside is another one. They've got a lot of running backs coming in. Ronald Jones out of McKinney, Texas. Alec Murphy from Nixon, Missouri. Chris Warren from Rockwall, Texas. Big-time running backs. So a lot of those guys are coming in the next few weeks, so it should be fun.
Danny, I wanted to ask you about, is it Honray Tolliver, freshman cornerback? And so When I looked, they had signing day in the Rock, and we got to see a couple clips on a lot of these players. He was my favorite D-back, favorite cornerback, and I only saw about five, six players that I think that for a good team could really come in and help us, and we might have to play seven or eight. And in ideal situation, you want to redshirt as many of these kids as you can, but what are your thoughts on him and then some of the other players that look to help this team next year?
Yeah, I like Andre a lot. I'm with you on him. He's the one thing that jumps out at me when you watch his film is just how fluid he is. You know, he's got the length. He's 6'1". I think his coach told me he's about 180 right now, so he's picked up some weight. He's probably bigger than the guy you saw on film. So, you know, you get him in here early, maybe in May, put a few more pounds on him. I feel like he's a guy that can go out there and help you at a position where they really need a lot of help right now. So he's definitely one. Cornelius Floyd, I keep bringing his name up week after week, but I feel like that's a guy too, Matt, that can come in and help those cornerbacks out. Dwayne Eugene, a linebacker, I feel good about him, as well as Randy Ramsey. A lot of those guys I feel good about, but I'm with you on that. If you can redshirt them, if you can afford to do that, and I think you ought to go ahead and try to do it. But I just feel like Arkansas has a lot of needs to be filled immediately, and they think this class, as well as some of the guys from the last class, can start doing that for them. So I would expect a lot of them to play, honestly.
Right. I had Tolliver, Robinson, Ramsey. So there's three, and then Anthony Brown, Jared Cornelius, and Bijan Jackson. So there's six. That's the ones that I wrote down that was really excited about, and now there could be one or two that are not. And as far as receivers, I put a plus by JoJo Robinson and then also Jared Cornelius. Talk a little bit about them. Do you see both of them or one of them playing or any of the other receivers helping out next year?
Yeah, I do see both of those guys playing. You and I have talked about this a lot. Arkansas needs that more explosive type receiver and wide receiver. And those two guys are explosive. Arkansas has kind of missed out on some of that. The other key in this class, though, Matt, they really wanted to get bigger at that position. And you bring in a Cody Hollister, 6'3", 200. Kendrick Edwards, you saw his film, I'm sure, 6'6", 200. They got a lot bigger with those two. But I'm with you on the two wide receivers. Michael Smith, the wide receivers coach up here, told me Jared Cornelius, whether he enrolled early like he did or not, he was going to play as a true freshman because he's so polished as a receiver. Right. He's not only quick and explosive, he runs great routes. He was clearly the best route runner I saw at Arkansas camps last summer. So I feel good about your predictions there.
There we go.
Let's go to Big Red in Conway. Big Red, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Great. I have three things. First, I thank you for the tickets for last Thursday's game. Been trying to get in, even though you only have two listeners. Apparently the phone lines are pretty dang full. And so my second thing is a question for Danny. I'm curious about our cornerbacks. I really have. I know we need big-time help in the back four. And we recruited three cornerbacks, signed three cornerbacks. And I wanted your evaluation of those three guys. And lastly, did I miss Mike on the picks for today's race? Today's races?
Magic Mark, you mean?
Magic Mark, I'm sorry, yes.
Yes, we have him here. We might be able to bring him back on here for is there a race that you want to know about?
He's just been on fire. I mean,
he's been
nailing them, and I'm Oakland Anywhere kind of guy, so I listen for his picks, and I guess I just missed them, so I was wondering.
He was on at 1:30, just like every day.
Man, I missed it. I mean, okay,
that's all right, Big Red.
Do you remember what he picked? Do you remember anything he called?
What race are you? I think the first race he said that he was excited about was four. But race four was the first race he was excited about.
Okay,
is that right? And he had the 2:10.17 were his top four.
And then race five, the 8:92.
Yeah.
Whoa. 2:10.17 and
8:52.
8:92.
Race
five. Yeah.
In race five.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Maybe that help you out.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate the call, Big Red.
And Danny, he asked about the cornerbacks. Can you kind of evaluate is there three cornerbacks we signed or four?
Three.
And kind of put them in order, I guess, who you see to help us the soonest and who might redshirt.
Yeah, the two guys we just got through talking about, obviously Tolliver, your guy, and then Floyd is kind of my guy. But then you look at Chris Murphy out of Marietta, Georgia. He's already on campus and will go through spring ball, so he may have the best chance to see the field early. This guy played great competition. I want to say he was 6'7", 7A in Georgia. So you know he saw a lot of great competition. He's a very smart kid, got in here early, will go through spring ball. So that's going to be a big benefit for him. He may end up being the best one for all I know. But I'm with you on Andre Tolliver. You know, 6'1", 180, that's about the same size as Cornelius Floyd. Both of those guys, super quick and very athletic. But the thing that jumps out at me about Floyd, and the reason he's probably my pick, is his tackling ability. I go back and watch all these Arkansas games over the last few years, and one thing that jumps out, if you bust one outside run on Arkansas, you see cornerbacks just fly up and just tackle thin air. They're just flopping
all
over.
They fall off, yeah.
Yeah, and Cornelius is a physical guy. He don't mind coming up and hitting you, so I like that about him. But, hey, keep your eye on Joshua Liddell. I know they've got him listed at safety. They feel like he's got the athletic ability to play cornerback. So if safety doesn't work out for him, look for him to get a look at corner.
Let's go to David in Maumelle. David, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Gentlemen, I heard you talk a little while ago. We got these big receivers or fast receivers coming in. But here's the other problem. It's been talked already on Drive Time and other shows about Brian Allen is going to be the starter. Well, that's great, but Brian cannot throw the deep ball. I think that was proven last year. And I would like to know how we're going to get – if these receivers got the speed and you got nobody that can get on the ball, you know, we're back where we started last year.
Well, David, David, first off, I think that Brett Bielema has said that the competition at quarterback is open.
Okay.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that Brandon Allen's going to start.
And Brandon Allen was hurt. Like, I do not think his arm, I think he was close to 80%. And I know they might not tell you that, but from what I saw from the first couple games to later in the year after his shoulder injury, I just did not see the zip on the ball nowhere near to what he had at the first couple games. So if he can get his shoulder healthy, his arm healthy, I think he has more zip. I really think he was about 75-80% mm-hmm. as far as arm strength last year.
Well, guys, can you talk about PV just for a little bit? And I've got to go. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right, thank you, David. Appreciate the call. Danny Rafe PV.
Yeah, first let me add on Brandon Allen, kind of following up what Matt said. I had somebody tell me right the day after the LSU game that they would be surprised if Brandon at that point could have thrown it 50 yards. So that kind of gives you an idea of where he was injury-wise. And that, again, that's not making excuses for him. It's water under the bridge as far as we're concerned. It doesn't change their 3-9 record, but I do think there's something to his shoulder injury. Brent Bielema did say the race would be wide open and Rafe would get every opportunity to prove himself. You know, it's going to be a big jump for Rafe. Played 3A football in South Missouri. Not great competition, but I'll tell you what excites you is how you saw him go down to that Under Armour All-American game and show out. Once he had talent around him, you know, it seemed like it kind of slowed down for him a little bit, and he was able to do a lot of things. So I like Rafe's chances. It's going to be interesting, one of the most interesting quarterback competitions we've had in a while, because the underclassman guy is super talented, and the upperclassman, he's got the experience, but he just hasn't done very well. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this race.
And Danny, that we've talked just in this conversation, you've said two players so far that are coming up there enrolling. Is that called gray shirting? What is that when they enroll early?
Gray shirting is when they pay their own way for the first semester
or something. Can you go over then the
early
players
enrollee.
Yeah, that have enrolled and will be going through spring ball? Because I'm with you. I think that gives them a leg up. They already get the playbook. They get to go against better competition. They get a feel for it. I think it's huge for some of these kids to get in early. Can you go over some of those players that are enrolled early?
Yeah, you've got four players who enrolled in January and will go through spring ball. Rafe Peavy is one of them, so that's always good to get your quarterback on campus. We mentioned Christopher Murphy, out of a cornerback out of Georgia, Jared Cornelius, wide receiver, and Cody Hollister, JUCO transfer, 6'3", 200, so he'll be here and go through spring ball. So there's a total of four.
Nice. Okay.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, the number to call to be a part of overtime today. Danny, Taver Johnson going to Purdue, leaving Arkansas, going to Purdue. Brett Bielema now, and this happened a couple of days ago, but the first time we've had you on to talk about this. What does that do? How does that shake up things?
But Taver, in my opinion, was probably about their third best recruiter since Charlie Partridge left. I think Trey Biddy said it yesterday, and I totally agree with him on Drive Time. The order would have gone Sam Pittman, Randy Shannon, and then Taver Johnson as far as recruiting. So it's a pretty significant loss in that department. What's interesting to me is what kind of hire do you go out and make now? You know, you've got all three levels of your defense covered by position coaches. So maybe they go out and just pick up a Rovers coach, a nickel coach, as Bielema called Taver Johnson's new job last week. And I think that was when we all pretty well found out that Taver was not going to be on the staff very much longer. It kind of nudged him out of a job. But we knew he went to Purdue on Tuesday and interviewed up there and ultimately got the job. So happy for Taver. But yeah, he was a great recruiter for Arkansas.
What are your thoughts on Rob Smith, the new defensive coordinator?
The most interesting thing to me is where his recruiting strengths are. I'm fine with him as a coach. You know, you don't make it to the NFL at any position if you're not a very good coach. So I think scheme-wise, he'll be a good fit for everything they want to do. But for me, you've lost some good recruiters now. Taver Johnson, as we said, Charlie Partridge earlier in December. I think it's important to really get back on the road and prove yourself as recruiters, and it's going to be interesting to see where exactly they put him as far as across the country. He may just be a spot position coach where, you know, like he did at Rutgers, if there was a defensive player in Washington, then he would go after that player. And he may not have a true geographical location where he's going to be recruiting, so that'll be interesting.
Danny, as always, we appreciate it. Arkansas basketball, do they win tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. Why not?
Are they at home?
They're at home.
I think so too, Danny.
Danny, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, buddy.